hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bras. Hello, everybody. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Welcome to your show.
Welcome to your show.
Welcome. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Day. Thanks to everybody who has been showing up on Take a Seat on Monday nights over on Spotify Live. This coming Monday, December whatever, beginning of December, first Monday of December, is our final Take a Seat show. So come join us over there. It was a temporary time that we were there, but you know what? An amazing freaking time. So come over there and join us for our last night party this coming Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Also, new merch alert, and it's Salt Lake City based. We've got a shirt that says Healing Journey and another one that says Be Real, because we couldn't decide between the two. So they're both up. And they're not only shirts. You can get a pillow. You can get coffee cups. You can get little travel mugs. Lots of different kinds of hoodies, sweatshirts, all different kinds of stuff. Go over there and check that out. Just go to crappensmerch.com. Because what better way to start off the new year with a shirt that tells everyone you're on a healing journey? What else, Ben? It's Crappens On Demand. Crappens
On Demand. Twins.
So we're on video.
I know. I'm wearing my winter sweater because I am still here in my childhood bedroom here in New York. So I'm here for the next 24 hours. And then I'm going to Miami to both celebrate the Potomac cast trip to Miami and the return of Real Housewives of Miami next week. That's actually not why I'm going, but I'm just going to say that because I wonder if I say that, does that mean I can write off the trip? I don't know. Accountants, let me know.
Write it off anyway. What are they going to do? Prove me wrong, okay? I talked about Real Housewives of Miami and the fucking Barnes & Noble in Miami. There, prove it wrong. Prove me wrong.
I'll just sit on a corner in South Beach and just with a little microphone and talk for 5 minutes about about Miami. I'll be like, there, tax write-off.
Crying, because that's how I react to South Beach. I'm just like, I'm so fat.
Maybe I'll see Larsa.
People are just throwing dollars at me.
Anywho, but no, that's all I have to offer. That's all I have to say. I mean, let's
talk. We'll work for Ozempic. It's my little Sharpie sign.
Maybe I'll join OnlyFans and do like a collab with Larsa down there in Miami.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't it? Yeah, or maybe I'll find
hairy feet out there and
just really get them in people's faces, attract all the truck drivers that Larsa, I'll just steal her truck driver / prisoner audience. But maybe I was going to say, maybe I'll find a bedazzled mug and I can just Marisol it up. I'll just like, be like, oh, Miami, wow, what a city. And then just chew on a straw.
Yeah, just have your straw.
Miami, I hear you're both a beach and a city. Just like say things that don't even make sense, but I'll just use the straw thing to make it seem like it's an innuendo.
That's some Marisol action over there. So that's coming up. What else? What am I doing? Nothing. Nothing. Really nothing new.
Okay. We're just catching up. Today we are talking about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which was quite an entertaining episode for me personally. I enjoyed it. I don't know if you enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. I was really happy to see Angie K really, really let her almost housewife, you know, wings open up, because she's not a real housewife. She's a friend of. But I have to say, after this episode, I was a little surprised that they did not make her a real housewife, because I feel like she really anchored this episode in a way that a friend of usually doesn't. And I was impressed.
You know, you really did have that reaction, because we were texting about it, you know, as we were watching, because we don't talk to each other enough, you know, so we want to make sure that I have to know what Ben's thinking. So we were texting about the show, and you were kind of that guy when someone gets off the plane, you were that guy standing there with the sign with their name on it, with like a limo. You're like, get into the car. You've made it. Please get into your limo. I'm here to take you to paradise. I didn't have a sign. You know, I was like, don't get in my car. I was like that Uber driver. I was like, please don't get in here. I don't dislike. I'm just cautious, because I think she's been so thirsty so far and like trying to get in the middle of everyone's fights when she didn't really belong there. Like, I've looked at her as kind of auditioning too hard for the show. Now, I will say, Jen Shah, who has stolen so much from so many, is capable of giving, because she really did give her a gift by throwing that drink on her head. Because then she had something that she could actually argue about that made sense, where she wasn't trying too hard. And then she wouldn't let it go because she is going to keep trying too hard, you know. Mm. But it's against Jen and it was legit. So I have to say, welcome to, you know, the Uber. Please don't get
baggage
it for
claim.
The next Uber. Yes. Welcome to baggage claim.
Baggage claim. You know, look, the reason why I felt like she was giving me Real Housewives energy was because, I mean, yeah, she's been thirsty, although I actually would argue, I feel like Angie H has actually been thirstier this year, which is funny because she doesn't need to be, because she already established herself last year with Catergate. So she really could have just like rose up.
Fail. I guess.
Yeah, but it was a great fail. And I feel like, I guess I just have in my mind Angie H showing up in sequins and a top hat and like doing a rat-a-tat dance to When the Saints Go Marching In for the choir auditions. That kind of image is in my head, which I'm like, that was actually giving me friend of energy. But Angie K, here in this situation, she has been trying to find her way in, you know, with minimal success. She's been fine. But then with this, she gets that champagne poured on her head. And she did the proper thing, which is to start to cry. Like, I was so mad. I was so mad. I can't believe she would do that to me. And she was so mad. And then she turned it into like vitriol. And she had a big scene in a Sprinter van. And she anchored it. And she didn't back down. And she went hard. I was like, woo. That was big, you know?
And then she, you know, and then we also saw the work that she did leading up to all of this, which was hosting a party for Jen, just so she could use that against Jen later, you know? And I was like, that is called doing your homework and planning for the day.
Long game.
That is packing your lunch before a hike. You know what I mean?
That's getting trail mix, okay? Going to CVS beforehand and getting some trail mix.
She came ready. She did.
Yeah.
So let's just get started. Okay, so it's 3 months until Jen's trial. And because it's Salt Lake City, we are shown what kind of pain is going on in Jen's mind with the visual of her putting in her contacts. They're like, it's 3 months till trial. She's like, and then we see clips of, you know, bad memories of like the FBI. And then it cuts back to her like trying to get in her contact.
Like, what's the opposite of the future so bright you got to wear shades? Is it like the future is so dark you got to put in your contacts? Is that what the visual is happening here?
Yeah, the future, the past was so difficult that you have dry eye and your contacts hurt. They just keep giving us new stuff because we have the choir this year. That's new. And have we ever seen a housewife distressed using contacts as a prop? We haven't. And it really did last. This whole scene was her putting on contacts. And then she's like, oh, contacts. And it's like, whoosh. And then they're like, have you had any contact with your assistant, Stu Chains? And she's like, oh, putting in her contact.
There's a little contact just like trying to get, like, trying to dock in that eyeball, you know? She's like, oh, the memories.
So
then it's like, then it gets like very quiet. And then she's like, and then she talks about depression. She talks about how when her dad passed away, she was on antidepressants, and, you know, and it was really hard. And just when she had clawed out of that hole, now all of a sudden it's a living hell again. Just when she had climbed back to being not depressed while she defrauded people, her fraud caused her to be depressed.
Right. They took away her hobby, stealing from old people. Okay, stealing from the weakest people in our society. I'm sure that everybody out there is crying right now watching this Jen Shah scene. I'm not. Okay, no. I'm not. So she's like, I'm just taking each day as it comes. Poor thing. Okay, so then we go to Beaumont Baker, and it's dramatic music.
Now, it looked like it was like a bakery in the middle of nowhere. I don't know why I felt it. Just
everything,
was like,
everything in Salt Lake City looks like that. Every time they show a place with a window, you see just bare mountains.
Nothing.
You know, gorgeous scenery.
Yeah, it's just like a bakery on top of a mountain. you know? So it's like, that's what, it's like closer to Jesus or something. So
it's so gorgeous there, but it's like offensively gorgeous. I feel like there's just no 7-Eleven.
We're like mad that they have not destroyed the natural landscape more. Oh my God. It's like a bakery surrounded by nature. Like, ew.
Gross. Like,
don't they know they can like pave over that and put up an Italian restaurant? What about like Cucina Toscana too? Okay.
Yeah. I do feel like so, that. Like, what do you all have printers? No one goes to FedEx Kinko's for any reason, really?
Yes.
You're just going to have a fucking mountain there? Get out of here, mountain. Okay? You're taking up enough space.
Congrats sending a package at your not UPS store. Oh, I'm sorry. Does that fir tree offer overnight delivery? Didn't think so.
By the way, and I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with anything really, please, but I'm so furious at nature and their litter. I'm sick of Mother Nature littering all over the fucking place. And no, I'm not talking about children. So all the mothers, I'm not talking about your babies today. But I was just at Tuesday Morning, because, you know, it's either Tuesday Morning or Home Goods. So I was at Tuesday Morning today, just got my car washed, which I never do. I guess very rare for me, but it was so disgusting. So I got my car washed. Also, I have no life.
At
so
Tuesday,
like,
Morning?
That would be fun. No, but I had done it like yesterday. So I went to Tuesday Morning, and I'm in there, and I'm checking out, and I guess what I hear? The fucking leaf blowers in the Tuesday, outside the Tuesday Morning. Mm. But still, like, you're leaf blowing a parking lot, really? And they're literally standing like two spaces away from me, just blowing leaves. You know, fuck leaves. Fuck trees. Fuck just throwing their leaves everywhere, yeah, to the point where you have to get people out there with reverse vacuum cleaners that don't do anything to fuck up your damn car. Come on.
Also, branches. I think we should extend that to branches, because on Sunday night, it was sort of like drizzling here in New York. It was like drizzly, a little warm, but it was drizzly. And then out of nowhere, the weather does turn all Jen Shaw. The weather, all of a sudden, for like 25 seconds, all of a sudden you hear like a woo, 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 like that suddenly got like super windy. I was like, woo, woo, woo. You know, like that wind where you feel like the windows are going like this. And I was like, whoa, like is a tornado coming through? Like, woo, 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 woo. And then all of a sudden you hear like, as like branches are flying everywhere. And then it was like over. And I was like, why did you do that weather? That was like, either you be a storm or you don't be a storm, but like this. And then now we have branches everywhere, like big branches that are awkward on the lawn.
Litter.
Like,
I'm telling you, Mother Nature is a littering asshole. Okay. So everybody who's all green, you're like, oh, it's okay. It's nature. No, it's not. Okay. It's being blown all over the fucking place. And I'm sick of it. Okay.
We are done. Okay. You know what? No more leaves, no more branches. When you're ready to die, just like disintegrate. Okay.
Yes. They're like, it disintegrates. I'm like, really? Then just leave it in the parking lot to disintegrate. Well, we can't do that. Oh, really? Why not? It just disintegrates, but it takes time. So as far as I'm concerned, it's trash. It's litter. Cut the shit trees. Fucking Mother Nature, you know what, though? Over her shit.
If you didn't have those leaves, where would Michaels draw its inspiration?
Michaels, the craft store?
Yes. If you, like... Like, if it weren't for those leaves, Michaels would not be able to sell fake orange and yellow leaves that you can then arrange and put in your house and be like, it's to announce that it's fall. You know, it's like, hey, it's fall. Let me put some fake leaves on my table.
Well, they could stay on the tree and still change color. Why do you have to go through the whole process of like dropping one to the ground? You know, it's like a smoker, you know, it's like time for another cigarette. You just throw the other one on the ground. You smoke another one. You know, and then people used to get on my shit for that. And I was like, well, that's natural. It's tobacco. So fuck off. Okay. Why can trees do it, but I can't do it? You know, when I do it, I get a ticket. Mother Nature, you know, they make stories about her and teach children about what a wonderful lady she is. As far as I'm concerned, Mother Nature is a litter bug and I'm sick of her shit.
Well, you know,
it's time to stand up to her.
Well, Mother Nature is not a litter bug because Mother Nature is just making trash in her own house. Okay. Like, it's one thing if I, okay.
Her
if
house I is up everywhere, piece, though. You don't get to claim the entire world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like one thing if, like, I, like.
And like, base taxes. Where your
take
property
a piece of
taxes.
Paper. If I make a little paper ball and throw it to the garbage and I miss and it sits by the garbage, I'm like, okay, I'll pick it up in a little bit. You know? Yeah. That's one thing. It's my choice. It's my house. But it'd be one thing if you came into my house and threw some trash at the garbage can and then walked away. I'd be like, excuse me, Ronnie, pick up that ball and put it in the trash can because it's my house. So the truth is, when we litter, we're really just making paper balls and throw them all over Mother Nature's house.
I paid to live. So that's like saying that like, someone in the food court, just because you're both in the food court, they can throw. It's like if you're the Cinnabon and I'm the Sbarro, like you're allowed to throw your icing all over me because we're in the same food court that isn't ours anyway. No, it's bullshit. Fuck that. The food court people need to take care of that shit.
I don't think I followed that metaphor.
Because you're saying like, we're a property within a bigger property, so we can still litter within our little... I don't like it. I don't... Just clean up after your shit, Mother Nature. That's what I'm going... Okay, let's go back to the middle of nowhere to see what's happening Beaumont at the Bakery. Beaumont Baker. Yeah.
Speaking of food courts. So Heather walks in, and Angie H. is there, and she's like, spring has not sprung, everyone. Oh, did I land the job? Did I land the sixth snowflake of the cast? Spring has not sprung. Good stuff.
So and then Dana shows like, up. Oh my God, you ordered me the breakfast burrito. Thank you. You got it. I'm like, well, Angie, you're so thirsty. You're even pre-ordering everybody's food. Just stop. You're trying too hard.
She's like, well, I saw that Bethany does this and she's like a star. So, so Dana comes up too. And, Heather, by the way, this is Heather's favorite bakery, just so you know. So if anyone ever wants to see Heather Gay, either I think you go to Beauty Lab and Laser or you come to Beaumont on top of the mountain, Mount Beaumont. Okay. So Dana's there and she's talking about how she and Jen are like not on good terms right now. And she tells them about how like Jen called Meredith to invite Meredith to San Diego, but Dana was there and then they got into a fight and everything. And then Heather's like, yeah, it's crazy because I only just got a text to go on this trip. Like, why am I drive over here? And so Dana then is like, oh, she only just texted you? I'm like, whoa, Dana. Don't act like... Okay, like, don't all of a sudden start shaming Heather for getting a late text when you're barely on this. You're not even on the trip.
Yeah. But I like her because she's, like, dropping that. And then also she's already told off Jen. And also she has the newest Louis, which is, like, a real fuck you to a real housewife, you know? Like, when the friend of shows up with a new Louis, you know?
Yeah.
And then... she doesn't try too hard, though.
She doesn't try hard at all. I feel like she barely wants to even beat it. I don't think she even likes Beaumont.
She's probably like gluten-free. So I like it. I like a standoffish person at first, you know, because I think she'll bloom. So she's like, yeah, well, she did invite you. And Heather's like, I mean, barely. And then Angie H. is like, so could you guys tell me about this trip that I'm barely aware of? It's like, no, you're not invited. And you're still not going to be. And I love that they didn't even invite Angie Harrington, who's been on, I mean, longer than the other friends have. And also, the whole reason Dana is going is because she happened to be there when Meredith found out about the invitation. So Meredith invited Dana. But Angie is there once when Heather found out about the invitation, and Heather's not going to invite Angie.
Yeah, exactly. So
this shit is so petty.
Yeah, Angie does not get the sympathy invitation. So yeah. Dana says that she's like, well, you know, Jen and I kind of went at it, and like she was like, you know, you called me a bully, and I was like, I did call you a bully, and I don't like the way you talk to people. You're very disrespectful and you're very rude. And she started yelling and hung up the phone and everything. And you just see Angie being like, wow, I can't believe you talked to my main cast member like that. That's really crazy.
And she's like, we're just gonna figure it out on the trip. And so Angie's like, so Meredith invited you, but not Jen? What's up with that? And Heather's like, wait, so you're going to be a guest of a guest? Sounds good. You should do the same thing, Heather. No, not doing it. Oh, by the way, thanks for this breakfast burrito. It's my favorite.
Yeah. By the way, I invited the checkout girl to come on the trip because she seemed pretty cool. And I think I can get a good discount at Beaumont going forward.
There was actually like, someone taking out the trash as I parked when I got the text, and I felt like it was unfair not to invite her. So
yeah, she actually did this wonderful When the Saints Go Marching In dance where she had like sequins on and the whole top hat thing. And she's like, that was my thing. What are you talking about?
So Dana's like, whatever, I'm gonna be guest of a guest, I don't care, I'm gonna have the best time. And Angie goes, Dana, you've left your street smarts at home. It's like, this is why you're not invited. What are you even talking about?
Are there street smarts on this cast? I'm not sure about that.
You don't even need street smarts. There's only mountains outside,
right? I know, that's what I'm saying. So now meanwhile we're at Jen's house.
You've left your mountain smarts at home, Dana.
You left your ski smarts.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now Meredith shows up at Jen's house, and Jen has a sign up on her front door that says, "No solicitors. Seriously, it's annoying." Says Jen Shaw, whose business is about calling people and soliciting.
Literally about to go to prison for soliciting. It's like a serial killer being like, "Oh my God, don't kill more than one person. Obnoxious."
So Meredith shows up and says, "Hello, I've come to solicit you."
Did you notice she was also wearing a coat the color of prison jumpsuit orange?
I know.
Like, that is, you gotta love Meredith. She's very sly with this stuff, you know?
Yeah, she is. So Jen's like, "Oh, you look bright and sunny on this snowy day." And Meredith goes, "Well, we needed something to cheer you up, so I wore something that would remind you of what you'll be wearing for the next 30 years of your life." Smile.
"On the outside, I'm going to prison for most of my life. And on the inside, I'm on the new Star Trek."
Like, she takes off her coat. She's in one of those, like, Star Trek things she loves where the shoulders are, like, pointy.
It's a little bit Tina Turner in Mad Max. Just a little bit, like, bloop, you know. She loves that. So,
all the Brooksies say, "We don't need it."
So Jen's like, "You have to tell me if you like this tea. I mean, you asked for forgiveness for your sins, and that's what Ramadan is. And so this is like a Ramadan type of tea. And I'm going to ask for forgiveness for my sins, and it's going to help me find the strength to deal with everything I have to deal with." Which is the repercussions of your sins.
Mm-hmm. This is like the part of the show where the producers are trying to make Jen look like she is reflective on what, well, just reflective just in terms of what she's wearing, but she's reflecting on her past. We have the contact lens, and now it's Ramadan, so she's really being thoughtful and asking for, you know, repentance, and she's just she's really having a moment where she's showing some personal growth. That's what they're trying to say now before she goes to San Diego and just throws a glass of champagne on Angie K's head for no reason. It's a tradition in Ramadan, right? That you then fight with people over beds and pour bubbles on top of your friend's hair.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I do like about Jen, is that she does entire seasons worth of growth and rebirth and then trashing it all within one episode, you know?
Yeah.
Usually it's a whole season of people, like Leanne Locken from Dallas being like, "And this year I'm peaceful." Which are like little bowl of yoga, whatever. And Jen just does all of that every single episode.
Yeah, it's really great. So, so she's talking about all this stuff in Ramadan and all that, and she doesn't want to fight with people. And Meredith's like, "Oh, so we get Zan Jen, don't we not?" And she's like, "Yeah, so this is like a great month, you know, for anyone who wants to ask me for anything or to talk about anything, because I have to be calm and forgiving."
Well, good, because I wanted to talk to you about something. It was a little shocking how everything escalated with you and Dan on the phone. You know, on the FaceTime call. Let me specify. It was a FaceTime call.
And Jen's like, "That was so shocking to me, too. That was shocking." And she thinks that Meredith is going to be like, "Yeah, what a bitch Dana is for, like, coming for you on that call." But she's like,
"Well, I think that her intention was good. And listen, I'm from the Star Trek, just trying to make people between worlds get along better, and so I'd love for her to come on this trip."
"I would. She'd be great if she could come on board. She could just, you know, be part of the trip. She's sort of, you know, don't worry too much. She'll just cling on me." Get it? Cling on. No, Jen, not a Trekkie. No.
"Give me a separated V5.
I feel horrible that you didn't get my Star Trek joke, Jen. What's a Klingon?" So,
"Bing me up, Braxing."
"Where are we going? We don't even need roads." Oh, wait, is that Star Trek? That's maybe a different piece in the genre.
So then we go back to the bakery, and Dan is like, "Yeah, Jen is aggressive and loud, and I don't know if you guys don't see it or don't notice it, but I cannot stand it." No, they haven't seen it or noticed it.
No, they never. It's funny. That's funny that she would mention that, because I think Jen has famously been pretty chill over the past 3 years. "She threatened to drown me in a pond." I'm surprised they didn't have Whitney just do that. come in out of nowhere. Remember that?
Yes. She threatened to drown me in the pond behind my house.
Finally make that landscape interesting. So then, now Dana's, so Heather's like, she's been doing that ever since I've known her. I'm over it. I mean, I keep considering my friendship with her when I talk to everyone, but she does not consider my friendship with anyone and how she's dealing when she's dealing with it. Like, she just gets to machine gun everybody. So this is Heather's new thing, where she goes around and talks about how she's over Jen. She doesn't like Jen or whatever. And then they get into group setting, and then everyone follows Heather's lead and goes after Jen, and then Heather takes up Jen's side.
That's what this episode will be. What are you doing? You better be nice to the host, or whatever she says later.
Yeah.
So Dana's like, well, how do you feel about that, Heather? And she's like, I feel devastated. That's how I feel about it. Devastated.
I feel all these big and horrible feelings. We got a lot. Horrible really comes back this episode. Last season, it was like, feel horrible about it, but this, and it was like gone all this season, but now she's saying horrible again, so I'm happy about that. So she's like, I have all these big and horrible feelings that she does, feelings as she does this, but like, I have learned to just like push it down and make it and keep it cool. I just suppress it all.
Yeah, that's Heather. I like that she's so honest about it. She's like, do you have pain? Push it down. I mean, duh. And Dana's like, no, stop suppressing things. Let it out. And she goes, why? Because I want to be like, Jen, listen, I'm suppressing things into a box in a tiny corner of my brain. That's what you do. I'm like, yes, that is what you do. Everybody doesn't need to deal with everybody's bullshit every single day. And that's a very modern thing. It's like, here's my trauma. I don't give a fuck. I'm in line at the grocery store. Save your fucking trauma for someone who cares. I do not personally care. You think I don't have trauma that I want to sit here and talk about? Of course. But, you know, it's called manners. Keep your trauma in your pants.
Let me explain it to you this way, Dana, okay? Your brain is a pink box, okay? If you fill that pink box with trauma, there's no room for croissants and donuts, okay? So you make it really small, and then you can get everything to go from Beaumont.
Yeah, if everybody just went around saying how they feel openly and honestly and putting their emotions out there every single day, the streets would just be littered with dead people. You know, keep it inside, people.
Now, Angie then says something that I feel like is a little scary, because Heather's like, oh, yeah, just like I just suppress things. I just put things into a tiny corner of my brain until I forget about it. And Angie goes, just like your bills. It's like, ooh, no, that bills, you gotta like actually want to deal with those. You don't want to hide those and forget about them.
Yeah. So then Meredith and Jen, so back to them. Meredith's like, well, how are you in general? Just in general. You know, I know that you've been going through a lot, Jen.
Well, it's been up and down. Like, the trial got pushed to July, and because, like, I'm going in for the fight of my life in, like, 3 months, it's like a daily roller coaster. It's a daily roller coaster. And, like...
And then we see, like, 1 week ago, Sharif had to pay $200,000 to lawyers and everything.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, this is why I want to plan a girls' trip, you know, to have fun. And Meredith's like, well, I think it would be good for you to stay busy these days, you know, because you'll have a lot of time to not be busy, if you know what I'm saying. Too soon? Too soon.
And she's like, you have been given the title of CEO of Fun. That's a resume builder, because usually I'm the CEO of Fun. It's like, oh my God, please don't give her the bullhorn. Please. Can we just leave the bullhorn at home this trip?
Yeah. I was surprised also that she relinquished CEO of Fun to her, as opposed to like being VP or like COO of Fun, you know, or CFO of Fun. Excuse me. I know we're all having a lot of fun, but I'm going to need some receipts because we're going a little bit off of budget.
The CFO of Fun. Listen, we did sing that you can have lunch, but can we go to Quiznos one day? Does it always have to be the Beaumont Bakery?
Beaumont. I'm not going to drive a car up that mountain once again for an overpriced croissant. I don't care. They were delicious when Heather brought them in that pink box, but I don't... Quiznos sometimes is necessary.
So this is where Meredith is like, well, what do you think about me possibly including them? And Jen's like, on the trip? And then we go out. And Jen's like, no, let me drink some peaceful tea. This flavor is Darjeeling. What about what I'm going through, T?
Well, you know, the thing is, she's like, did you plan this because it's Ramadan? Cause, well, when you open the door with that, it's not. It's like, almighty, just got easier.
So then back to Heather. She's like, oh, I have so much anxiety. I just can't eat now. Now, Heather.
Did you suppress the part where you ate already?
Yeah, you were just lecturing us on how to suppress trauma. Eating is a big part of it. Okay, at least in my world, like, you're no longer my hero. You went from being my hero into suppressing trauma into just not knowing how to do it.
Yeah. And Angie's like, well, I know a lot of people are coming at you right now. It's just not fair. Gosh, if only you had someone who could defend you on this girls trip right now. Someone who could provide you with the nourishment of a breakfast burrito on a whim. Heather's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to even go at all. No, that's not what I was saying. I was saying, perhaps you need further backup in case there's another Angie, an evil Angie that needs to be attacked by maybe a good Angie, a bad Angie, good Angie. You know what I'm saying?
No, not really. Poor Angie Harrington's just constantly left out in the dust. So Heather's like, yeah, I'm barely hanging on to this trip. I mean, it's gonna be like a white knuckled please like me grip that I've got on the trip. I can't do it.
Yeah, so she feels like no one likes her.
Yeah, she feels like they're always coming for her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I love victim Heather. She does it really well.
Yeah, she does. It's great. It's great.
She's an entertaining victim.
So Meredith, who meanwhile has resisted every effort for reconciliation with her and Lisa, is now like trying to force this Dana and Jen thing. And she's like, well, I really do believe it's just a miscommunication. It's like when I try to page Uhura and I'm like, hey, what's going on with space? Are we going too fast? And she doesn't respond back to me. It's a miscommunication up on deck. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, space is not the final frontier. San Diego is. So you guys should work through this pretty easily, I think
you two can get from animosity to friendship and warp speed.
So then Jen's like, well, I mean, you know her, and you know I trust you. So if you think that we can just talk through it and get through it, then fine. I'll trust you. I was like, uh-oh. So now Jen is putting it on Meredith. So if anything goes down with Dana, Jen gets to blame Meredith for it. You know, she worded it in a way that she can blame Meredith.
Also, how crazy is this show that these two are like such buddy buddies after last season, when last season we were like hated each other. So yes. I love it. So now it's time to pack. So we have, hi, it's Lisa Barlow. I'm backing for San Diego, John. Yes. Hi, clothes. Hi, bag. And John's like, how many days are you going? That's the rest of your line. Going. Good job. Good job, John.
Hey, Sean, we're going for 3 days. Let's go down to the Louis Vuitton store. I need to pick some stuff off.
And I thought, oh, my God, the Louis Vuitton store? Because wasn't this where Lisa was saying that Jen couldn't shop at because...
It was Meredith. Meredith is the one who said that. That's immediately what I thought.
Didn't someone come on Take a Seat and say that they worked for the Louis Vuitton store and that... It was when all that drama was coming out, and they said something that Lisa came in there to ask if Jen was really blocked from the Louis Vuitton store or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, is this all that drama? Yeah. I hope we get to see it.
One hopes, but no, I don't think so. I felt like it was an allusion towards it, but it didn't really happen.
Didn't.
So now we have Meredith packing. She's like, what? Hi, honey. And Seth is he comes in and he's like, wow, you getting ready for your trip? Are you gonna wear a bikini? Is Whitney Rose gonna wear a bikini with breasts? And Meredith's like, well, look what I found some coins in the bag. So Lisa Barlow's no longer the richest one in the group.
He's like, you should give that to her, make her richer. She's like,
So then Angie K and Jen are sitting at the counter planning this trip.
Yeah.
Because it's
Jen's Here are my thoughts. It's kind of collaboration of the two cultures. It's like Greek and Tongan hosted party. And I've got to find a Greek food caterer for San Diego. And then we're going to have a wonderful party, Jen. And
Jen's yeah, she's like, tell me mug. About a luau. What do you want for the luau? Because we need to know how to do luau, Jen. So just tell me what you want for the luau. And she's like, yeah, well, we need to be special for a Jen Shaw luau. I mean, that pig is going to be on the spit. It's going to be under the fire. And I'm going to say, what about what I'm going through, pig? So
Jen's also drinking. By the way, Jen's also drinking from a mug that says Shaw the fa up. Shaw the far up. Shaw the far up.
I don't know. I feel like there's so many things that have worked so well. That's just not one of them. One of my favorite internet jokes, I don't know who came up with it, but I thought it was so funny. The Shawshank Redemption was so good. I thought that one was that brought a tear to my eye. But
that's a good one.
Shaw the far up. I don't work harder. You know what I mean? Like, if anyone has time on their hands, it's you.
This is what happens when you don't have money to pay for a properly priced Shaw Squad. You get like the low rent Shaw Squad that comes up with bad mugs.
Yeah,
I should say mug Shaw. Get it?
Oh no,
mug Shaw.
Oh,
because she's gonna be arrested. Yes.
Oh my god! Did they get your mug Shaw? Basically, Jen is saying that she's throwing this trip, but Angie is planning everything, right? And yes. She says that they're going to have this trip at her friend's house. She hooked them up with this big mansion in San Diego. So what is Jen doing? Nothing, again, but taking credit, you know?
Yes.
She's going to show up with a bullhorn, and that's it.
Yeah, although, shockingly, no bullhorn this episode. I'm astounded. So then we go over to Whitney, and she's also packing her bag, and she's like, hey, Justin, does this read Girls Trip San Diego Verb? And he's like, does everything you put in that suitcase have a tag on it? She goes, no, but until last month, shopping was my therapy. It was my actual real-life therapy. People at H&M know a lot about my childhood trauma now.
Yeah, I really am healing a lot less since I stopped going to Dr. Beebe.
Dr. Beebe. So she's saying how like things are still weird between me and Heather right now. Like, I feel like it's gonna go, this trip will be the same as usual. Like, Heather will always lead with fun and jokes and laughter and act like nothing happened, and I'm gonna smile and be nice, and then something's going to trigger me and I'm gonna lose my shit and start getting real.
So then we go to the airport arrivals, and Seth drops off Meredith, and he's like, I love you. Get your toe in my teeth. Oh, honey, watch out for the Schadenfreude. Fuck is that?
Yeah.
She's like, Schadenfreude.
I know, it was bizarre. So then, Angie K and Dana hug. It was like a nice, like, hug of the friends of, like, good luck to you this weekend. I hope you get a slot. Good luck to you, too. Here's to you getting on the show.
They've both got water bottles, like they're at an audition. Like, do good.
I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you.
So Dana is like, I'm just a guest of a guest, and it's awkward AF. I don't know where Meredith is. I don't know where Heather is. Like, come help me, because here I am. And she's just kind of standing there drinking her water, looking around while, by the way, she has a really weird background. I don't think they're really sure about Dana, because most people, they're like, oh my God, let's get you a fabulous looking background for your diary room or whatever. But like, Angie Harrington is still doing hers in front of that wall unit air conditioner. And we see what happened to her. And then Dana is doing one kind of to the side of her couch, where they're really just featuring an ottoman with a home goods throw on it. I'm not really sure what's happening.
Next week, it'll just be a bunch of like flying toasters. It'll just be a screensaver.
And I do feel like I saw a little tiny air conditioner vent, like kind of on the nightstand. Well, it's not her bedroom. don't know. It was weird. The shot's weird. Work on it.
Just stock image. just says like iStock photo across it and like diagonals. So everyone's just like showing up and Heather's like, I love these girls as much as I hate them. I'm hopeful that we can get over our issues and have a great trip. But this trip just feels different. And then they just show Heather bringing her like 3 bags up the escalator and they all just like tumbling down. Like, just being that person just inept on an escalator at the airport.
They all fall down the escalator and then a guy comes on and he's just looking at him and looks up at her like annoyed and she just stands there. She's like, whatever. The escalator is coming up. They'll eventually bring my bags.
Yeah. So then they get on the plane and we see like footage of them on like cell phone footage of them on the plane. And Whitney's like, yay, another domestic trip because of someone's court ordered travel restrictions. San Diego, here we come.
And then we see the end of the flight. Jen is on the radio, on the stewardess radio. She's like, hi, it's me. Hello, passengers. This is the Queen Bee of SLC. Enjoy your trip to sunny San Diego. It's like, wow. She didn't have the bullhorn, so she literally took a microphone. Fucking Jen, man.
She takes it all over. Like, at that point, the passengers are just praying for that strange voice that was plaguing American Airlines. Did you know, you just heard that story?
No.
About the person who like hacked into the American Airlines intercoms. It was actually Emerson, our friend Emerson, who posted this video where there was someone who hacked into American Airlines, and during the entire flight, someone kept going, oh, 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 just moaning for an entire flight.
It's just Seth.
Beware of the Schadenfreude.
Passengers, we're coming upon some Schadenfreuden.
Right. Hey, flight attendants are coming down the aisles. Check out their racks.
Buckle your seatbelts and get your toes in taints, people. We're approaching.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now they're all in a Sprinter van and Angie K is, she's like, all right, Mrs. Shaw, Mrs. Marks. All right, let's go all around. We need to do a toast to our beautiful new place of residence for the next few days. It's a friend of mine's and it's 6 rooms and it's this dope house. Yes, it's very exciting. So she's starting to like get into host mode and this is already immediately starting to annoy Jen.
Yeah, but she did it. I mean, she got the house. She's planned everything. So I say it's hers. So then Heather's like, okay, well, here's to Angie's hookup. Yes, I'm sure this is the last time we're going to have to hear about what Angie did on this trip. So I'm going to give it a cheers. Cheers. And Meredith is like, guys, announcement. No locked rooms on this trip. And Whitney's like, but I need to lock my room.
Yeah,
I need to lock my room because what happens if someone tries to come in it? I don't know. I couldn't think of too many theoretical situations.
So Heather's like, well, guess what? How am I supposed to masturbate? And Angie's like, wow, this is exciting. I haven't been on a girls' trip since 1999. Now I'm finding out that we're supposed to masturbate and people might break down our doors. What a crazy, crazy night. Is Kathy Hilton joining? Uh-oh. Because of locked doors. Really, Serena, think about it for a second, guys. I'm Angie K.
I'm Angie K. So Dana's like, this is my first girls' trip ever. I was like, who casts these people? I mean, even if it's true, you don't say it, okay? You're like a fun-loving, fabulous person that we want to watch on TV. Like, I've never left the house before. So then...
I think the choir director, he asked these people.
Right. And so Meredith is like, I am the official CEO of fun on this trip, so I'm enforcing fun rules. And Jennifer Shaw is like, yeah, number one, have fun. Number two, have fun. Number three, don't be a bitch unless you're a fun bitch. Yeah. Like, okay, so Angie is taking over your role, but now you're taking over Meredith's CEO of fun job. Come on.
Rule number 4. If you want to have fun, you got to put on a blazer. Rule number 5, the Blazers got to have very, very tall shoulder pads in order to enforce the fun. And number six, if you're going to have too much fun, just make sure you don't do anything to harm my sweet toddler boy, Brooksy, because he's still a child and we have to know our boundaries.
Yeah, we're going to have fun, but we are going to have child-proofers over the electrical outlets.
Just in case Brooksy does decide to show up.
And she actually says, well, if I don't like the direction things are the way that things are going, I will call the police. And I was like, okay, that's like a little too soon. This is still a gen trip.
You know? Yeah. And then Heather actually goes, cheers to calling the cops. I was like, well, okay. All right, you guys.
That was Meredith's storyline last year. They were accusing her of calling the feds on Jen. You know,
she's like, right. I will call the cops. How dare you accuse me of calling the feds?
So they show up and Angie at this place. Angie's like, welcome to the Love Boat. And Whitney's like, I don't remember that show, which is so rude to Jerry O'Connell and his wife. I mean, that show was just on the air a week ago. Someone watched it, surely.
So they tour and everybody's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Lisa Barlow's just going, love that. This place is so good. It's so good. Her mouth and is Whitney, like unhinging, you know?
And Whitney is like a smoke detector on low battery. She's going, you just keep hearing her go, well, 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 meep,
meep. So Lisa's like, I'm so shocked. It's a little Santorini. Everything's white. It's an open air concept. I'm just waiting for our little Grecian goddess to come feed me gripes.
Yeah, it's a white, it's a house that's white.
It's a big white has doors box. Open. Yeah.
It's like nothing like Santorini.
So then
and Jen's by the way, everything like, I know about Santorini is from Below Deck Mediterranean season one.
Yeah. So Jen tries. She's like, we need to get room assignments down. And Angie's like, let's do a tour. Okay, we're going to do a tour, Jen. A tour. Okay, everybody, follow me for a tour. And Jen's like, she's getting all mad. You just see her starting to get really pissed. And Whitney's like, I thought this was Jen's trip. I'm so confused about who's hosting this trip.
Yeah, because Jen is definitely feeling like she's being stepped on. So, but Angie is like she's taking like a victory lap, like, and she hasn't even done anything. She's like, well, welcome to our humble abode. Now we'll find our bedrooms. Okay, follow me. We're going to go on a tour of the house. Okay, over here. This is a bedroom. This is a closet. Have you ever seen a closet before? This is one of them. This is what they look like. Over here, another closet. I know I blew your mind with the first closet. Guess what? There's two in this house. Actually, there's five more of them. This is a hallway. We're going down the hallway. Who wants to see a hallway, everyone? Door frame. It's a door frame.
Faucet. That's a faucet, people. And Jen, every room they see, Jen's like, I don't want this room. I don't want this room either. I don't want it. And so they're all numbered. You know, all the rooms are numbered. And Jen's like, Angie, you're fucking up this tour. You're supposed to know this house like the back of your hand. You said this was room number five, but it's room number four.
Sounds like Jen is actually the CFO of fun right now. She's counting those numbers very carefully, you know? And so Whitney's like, wow, the fact that you don't get into a fight every 2 seconds blows my mind. And Angie goes, oh, I just blow her off. Just do it. That's how you do it. Handle her. Just blow her off. So Jen's like, like she's getting angrier and angrier every moment.
I think this is what officially triggered Jen, was her saying, oh, yeah, I don't pay attention to Jen. That's like, dun, dun, dun. Now she's coming into Jen's friend group and being like, I'm not afraid of Jen. Like, I don't take shit from Jen. And that's when Jen's like, oh, hell no. So then Meredith is like, all I care about is a closet, a bathtub, and a tank to put my toe on. And they're like, oh, geez, Meredith. And so Angie goes into the primary bedroom, and she's like, oh, my God, guys, do you like my robe? Do you like my robe, guys? This is my robe. And she jumps on the bed, and Jen is now like, pissed. She goes, oh, wow, okay, are you in charge taking this room? I mean, who's in charge here? Who's in charge?
Yeah, and Whitney's like, historically, Jen has always gotten the best room, and it's kind of a filling, like, maybe we should give Jen the master, because there's a possibility she might spend the next couple of years in a 6x9 foot Jill cell, because she's going to Jill for a really long time.
That's bullshit. I don't think the person that commits crime should always get the biggest room. Who cares? No. You know? So Jen's like, well, I'm done. I mean, I fucking planned this shit and you get the best room. And Angie's like, it's fine, Jen, it's fine. And Heather's like, is it fine? Because it really doesn't sound fine. Doesn't sound fine.
Yeah. So Heather's gonna, there's like a casita area, so she decides to take it. And Jen, so now Jen is like, she's just trying to undermine Angie. This is Angie's big moment. At the end of the day, this is still Angie's best friend or some friend or a friend. And Angie's like very excited to give this tour. She's on TV. And Jen is undermining. So now she's like,
I'm confused. I don't know where we're going. Like, what's the point? What are we doing? Numbers? You said it was 4, but it was really 5. It's 1 and 3. I'm confused. Like, what is this? Is this even a house? Like, where are we right now?
She's just like doing everything to rain on Angie's parade. And Angie's like trying to be like, it's okay, Jen, even though I have the beautiful primary bedroom, you're right next to me. You're very close. You've got a very good room too. She's like,
no, I mean, like, I planned this. So like, what the hell?
Yeah, I will believe it when I see one thing that you've planned, because so far it doesn't sound like anything. So Angie's trying to laugh it all off, right? And Jen's like, well, you know, why don't you just say, like, you fucked up the room situation. How does that happen? Because she's like, she starts saying, Angie laughs at her because she makes some shitty Jen comment takes, to her.
Yeah, because Jen has, I'm sorry. So they all are in the kitchen now, and Jen is like, she's like, okay, I'm going to take the floor right now. She's like, she's saying like, I'm okay. I planned this whole day, everyone. So everyone listen up. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do today. And then Angie sort of like giggles and Jen gets really mad. And she's like, why don't you, okay, whatever you want to say, just say it because like you really fucked up the room situation. And so Angie's like, all right, bitch. Okay, just take over. Okay, because you're a fucking pro. Okay, you just do it. And that's when then it starts to escalate.
Okay, thank you. And Jen's like, yeah, I am a fucking bro. And she's like, we're all paying attention, Jed. We're all paying attention to you. So just say what you need to say. And the dramatic music, I mean, the music on this show, we say it all the time, but it really is priceless. I mean, it's not your normal dun 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 dun. It's like, this weird choiry,
yeah,
like 80s detective show dramatic music. And everyone's really nervous because they see Jen's about to lose it, right? And so Jen just lifts her glass of champagne and pours it on Angie's head.
Are you serious, Jen? Are you serious, Jen?
And Jen's like, yeah, I am serious. And then we get a replay.
It's like bird's eye view. It's like this ring cam. It's like a nanny cam behind, like from the kitchen island. It's like, how many different angles can we see Angie be humiliated from?
Yeah, I'm surprised I don't have little tiny GoPros on all the glasses on this show, because something is always being thrown from glasses on these shows.
You're just looking down like at her scalp as the
see like the bad weave line.
I'm surprised it wasn't like in that Matrix bullet time thing where like it stops and we rotate 360
around it. So we get like 10 shots of the wine being thrown on her head. And so Lisa's like, oh my god, Jen is so demanding. She's so demanding. And Heather's like, Angie is just standing there like Sissy Spacek and Carrie with pig's blood on her. I mean, I would classify this as rule number 3, fun bitch move. It was fun.
I was like, oh.
It was fun.
It's worth getting burned down in a high school auditorium because it was a fun bitch move. Like, what? I don't feel like the things in Carrie were fun bitch moves, personally.
It's funny that Heather worded it like she was going to say, I mean, she just bullied this girl, but she's like, yeah, fuck Carrie. Where's the pace blood? Get it all over.
She was a weird girl with a weirder mom, okay? She deserved it. Okay?
Yeah.
Piper Laurie, R.I.P. So then Angie's like, that's not even funny, Jen. That's not even funny. And Jen goes, it is funny. Like, this is my trip. This is a fun trip. And then Angie's like, would you like me to throw this on your freshly blown out hair? Would you like that, Jen? So Jen's like, go ahead. Here, I'll do it. So then she pours it on her head. In my mind, this was Jen Shaw saying, oh shit, my champagne moment didn't really land the way I wanted it to. So I'm just going to try to pivot and make it seem like this is all fun and games. And it's just so strange and awkward.
It's really weird. And everybody's just staring because no one knows what to say. And Angie does have tears in her eyes. Like, she's so embarrassed, you know?
Yeah.
And so then people start going to their rooms awkwardly, like, okay, well, Jen, you know, just humiliated someone. I guess we've all been there. So they start going to their rooms, and Heather's like, see, this is why I love the casita. And then all her suitcases fall down the casita stairs.
Yeah, I know.
And she just stands there waiting for them to, like, come up. No escalator then?
Yeah, now you're making fun of Carrie. I wish she had that telekinesis now. So, meanwhile, Jen has now decided to spin this situation where she's now the victim again, where she goes, well, I'm sorry, I thought I could joke around you. So now Jen is the victim because she thought she could joke around her friend, and she can't do that anymore. So, and then Meredith is oddly okay with this. She's like, well, everyone has different levels of what they find fun, and apparently Angie doesn't like having things poured on her head. So noted, we don't put that in the board meeting notes. So that is not a fun thing for her.
Friendship is a journey. This is just one cobblestone on the street. Do not throw things on Angie Kane's head. Man, we learn. Lesson learned.
That's not fun for people, apparently. So
Lisa's talking to Angie, and she's like, I am so sorry you got dumped on. And Angie's like, I mean, like, I could just re-blow dry this, but, like, I think she's on edge. Like, I think she feels like I'm trying to take over, but I found the house, so I was just showing people, helping them find somewhere to sleep. That's all I was doing. She's, like, traumatized. She's like, I didn't even know what happened. I was crossing the street, but, and then next thing I know, here, I wake up in the hospital. Like, what happened?
And then Jen is now starting to create her case. She's like, I was just trying to have fun. And when he goes, that is not a fun, hey, champagne up your skirt because we're partying and having fun moment. That is a no, listen to me, bitch. Kind of like when my dogs mark my territory. She's lifting her leg and peeing on Angie's head, but with a bottle of vip, she pees champagne. She's crazy.
So I'm back to Lisa. She's like, I wanted to say something in the moment, but I didn't want to pour gas on the fire. And she tells us, I'm so mad at myself for not saying something in the moment. And she's like, that was insane, watching my friend get a drink poured on her head by another friend. And so she's like, yeah, that happening in front of everyone is awful. Like, I've been so conditioned as Jen's friend to accept that kind of behavior. And if you don't, you're a bad friend. So you know what? No, actually being a good friend is saying that was wrong. I'm going to say you're a bad friend. I'm going to say it. So now she's getting herself all worked up to say
something. In all my years of being tied up to a post in the middle of the school, no one ever poured champagne on my head. This is too far. So then Whitney's like, so I understand your humor, that you're your humor and you're trying to lighten it up. And Jen goes, yeah, but like, if she's been like your friend ever since college, then like, what is the problem? I mean, like, it's not like I threw her in the pool or like ripped her weave or like sent her home to the curbside of the airport. All I did was take her on national TV and during her big moment, like, pour champagne on her head for no good reason and humiliate her. That's all.
Yeah, she sucks. So then back to Angie K. Now she's like turning this, you know, she's like, okay, now my trauma is over and now I'm gonna come for this bitch, you know, like, I was gonna wait till towards the end of the season to turn on Jen, but let's do this. So she's like, I know what kind of friend I am. I'm loyal. I'm true. I'll do anything for my friends and family. After everything I've done, she still does that to me on my hair. You know what? Not only did I plan Sharif's party? All of it? I paid for everything. I was not supposed to pay for everything. I opened up my home, and she was supposed to just, you know, like, do everything. But I ended up planning it and paying for it. And she tells us she spent $15,000 on that birthday party. And we see a clip of the party, and it's like, the casino people, and the dancers, and the pianists, and the costumes.
$3,000 flowers, $4,000 bar, $6,000 cake, $2,000 Darjeeling tea bags, $100 another Shot Squad. I actually bought her another Shot Squad, only $100. $15 a mug that says Shot the Fa up. The expenses just keep on coming. So
she
then
doesn't appreciate anything.
Zero. How much money did I get from Jen Shaw? Zero.
Okay, so then, now listen. You're right. You paid for all this shit. Jen didn't pay you back. That's not even contested later. So you're right. That was shitty. But also, you've known Jen long enough to know you're not getting that money back. And you know she doesn't have any. And as someone who knows Jen, you've read all the articles of what she's accused of. You know she's fucked. this money was money that you spent so that you could have the first big party at your home and the first big scene at your home so you could be on Housewives. So just to be on Jen's side for 1 second, that was your audition fee. Okay. No, now back on your side, Jen sucks. Why would you do that?
I'm about to say that was money that you spend. That way you can tell Jen you spent that money. That's what that was. So that's she's just finishing the deal, you know?
Right. She's putting in that money. It's like when you start working for an MLM or something and they're like, but you need to pay us $5,000 for your air filters. And then you go sell them and you make $50,000, you know, that's your upfront money that you're putting into this business, you know, and it bought you the first scene of the show and it bought you your first big fight of the show. Money well spent.
Yeah. And I love also like her closing statement, all this. I could have bought my daughter a horse with that amount of money. And I did do that actually. And so a picture of her daughter Electra with a horse goes just like, I was like, wait, why are we not having more Electra? Electra with a horse, we need her.
Electra on the horse. That was so good. She's like, I'm so rich, I still did do that. But it's the principle. And she is just one of those people. She's wearing a seeing eye, a dream catcher necklace, which we later find, or it looks like some sort of dream catcher symbol, which we later find out was from Jen. And like another, she has like a holy elephant praying to a Kleenex box in front of her. I'm like, is that really the best use of that elephant? You know, what do you call those? I forget what you call them.
The Ganesh?
Is it Buddhist? Yeah, it's like the elephant, and it's like got a little crown on, and it's like praying. It's like a praying sculpture, but it's like holding on to a Kleenex box. I was like, wow, this show really has an interesting take on religion. Really.
It's like a ladle, but it's also a crucifix. I like, you know, interesting use of religious symbols for housewares. Yeah.
Religious iconography or whatever. Like only Salt Lake City, you know.
I would love a menorah that's also for like each menorah part has just like a tissue on it. So
it's like a menorah, but it's like a lipstick holder. It's just all your little lipsticks.
So basically, Angie's like, I'm going to send her a bill. And so then Meredith's talking to Jen's like, well, I'm just gonna keep my mouth closed. She's doing that thing where it's like, I just won't joke. I love when people who tell bad jokes then say, well, I guess I just won't joke. It's like, yes, please. Thank you very much. So then Meredith goes, well, I honestly don't think that she's angry at all. And now it cuts to Angie going, I'm so mad right now. Now she's in the melodrama phase. I'm so angry right now. Friend of 21 years.
Cracks me up. And Lisa's like, you know what it is? You know what it is? You've taken enough over the past year, Angie. And she's like, can you get me a tissue? Ganesh, I was talking to the elephant. Thank you. And she's like, she needs to grow the fuck up. She's in the battle and she wants people to support her, but she continues to show people this immature behavior. I'm not doing those kinds of favors for people.
So now Heather goes to Dana's room. Dana's like in a little, I feel like she's, in my mind, Dana is like in the food pantry, even though she has a full bedroom. But like in my mind, I'm seeing it as a food pantry. And so they're like talking about outfits for today and everything. And Heather's like, how are you doing? You have a nervous energy. Is there any way I can make you think that I'm here to comfort you, but actually put you in your place? And Dana's like, actually, yes. So like, I mean, how would you feel if someone did that to you? Like, you should tell your friend, hey, that was totally uncalled for. And Heather, instead of saying like, I know that was fucked up, she goes, well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, swat the champagne flute out of her hand. I kind of agreed with her that she wanted Angie to be quiet and wanted to talk a little bit. She wanted to talk a little bit. I was like, Heather, how could you be supporting this champagne moment?
You know, she's pretty terrible. And I like that Dana does not give a fuck. First off, Dana is stunningly gorgeous. She's not like overfilled, overtoxed. She doesn't dye her hair. She's got like a lot of gray coming through in her hair. She doesn't wear like crazy clothes. Like she just looks like a normal, beautiful person.
Woman. And yeah.
So I think when Heather walks in, she's like, why do you look so nervous? Because her face moves. And that's what people look like when their faces move, you know? And when she's asking her all about this, Heather's like, well, I mean, I would be pissed, but it sounds like she's saying I would be pissed if someone was taking over my trip. you know?
Yeah.
I just love that Heather is like so fun and cool, but she's like always wrong. Almost always wrong.
And Heather's really happy because she thought she was coming to this trip. She thought it was going to be a pylon trip where everyone's going to come for Heather. And she's like, oh shit, I just got out of this. Woo! Although next week it looks like it's going to come for her. So then Jen walks
in. She says it like she says the quiet thing out loud always. She's like, yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled. I thought they were going to come at me with daggers, but now with this fortuitous teaspoon of champagne, maybe the tides have turned and the trip won't be about what a shitty friend I am.
No, only day one won't be about that. So Jen walks in and we're like, oh, here comes the Jen and Dana scene. And Jen is... they don't really even address it because Jen is still so mad about Angie. Like, this is actually the best thing for Dana, which is that Jen is like, oh, I need to have an ally now that I'm going to be mad at Angie. So Jen's like, you know, I planned this to be fun. And you can't say that, like, you've known me for 20 years and then, like, get mad because I do something to lighten up. Girl, you just confused the fuck out of everybody in the rooms. Jen, no one was confused by the rooms. And what you did was not to lighten up the fun. I mean, you lightened up the show for us. But, like, the fact that she's trying to build this flimsy-ass case is so – it's just like, do you think this is going to help you in court, these moments, these scenes? Like, when you are manipulating the truth on camera, is this supposed to help you get years shaved off your jail sentence? Because I think it's going to help.
No, she doesn't care. She's so crazy. She's in there to ask if she can use Heather's casita because Heather has the room for her glam team to come right in. She's still bringing fucking glam teams. I mean, this woman is so delusional. So Dana does not give a fuck. She's just looking at her like, I hate you. Please die. You know?
Yeah.
And so Jen leaves and Heather's like, now listen, Dana. I get it. You want to stand for truth and righteousness. Wow. But listen, you're a guest of a guest, so don't come for the host. I was like,
what is this mean girl shit? Who is so mean?
The girl who is on all of the high schoolers' side against Carrie. You just can't make this shit up. I know.
She's pro Carrie, pro felon.
No, she's anti Carrie. She's anti Carrie.
I'm sorry. I meant pro Carrie bullies. I sort of just, yes. Pro Carrie destruction, pro pig's blood. I think she just loves seeing liquids fly. That must be what it is. She's like, ugh. Oh, champagne, if it's only pig's blood. So Dana's like, wow, like, she's like, does Jen have something over these women? Like, does she have their blood samples or their social security or their DNA? I'm like, yes, and probably yes. I mean, she literally is on trial for fraud and for stealing this stuff.
I'm surprised we don't have footage of Jen going around in vacation episodes, like picking little hairs out of brushes and putting them in Ziplocs, you know? So Heather tells her, pick your battles wisely. That's my advice.
Thanks, Heather. You're so inviting to Dana. So now it's like phone calls from home. So Meredith gets a call from Chloe. Still trying to make Chloe happen. Unfortunately, I think it's just it. And I think Brooks is really the one that pops from this family, but not Chloe, unfortunately.
And sorry, then, Chloe.
What'd you say?
Sorry, Chloe.
I know. Sorry, Chloe. Maybe next season. And then Whitney calls up Justin and he's like, I'm talking to my 401k guy. She's like, you're 40. 4420. It's like, okay, bye.
No, the 401k guy. Is that when all the computers are going to stop working? It's Y2K, no, Whitney.
401k. Oh, I'm glad you're eating healthy cereal. No, that's Special K.
So now everybody's getting ready. They're going to get ready to go out. And Angie's talking to Meredith in the kitchen. And they're, you know, everyone's being light. You know, it's like, oh, I'm in white, you're in black. We're like an angel and a devil. We're like an angel and a devil together. And then we start getting the villain music. And it's like some more weird, like, ha, 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 ha. It's like the satanic choir. And Lisa's asking if Angie called Sean her husband, and she's like, I did. He felt very bad. Very, very bad.
And then it's 1 hour earlier. The very thing that she is being accused of right now is conning people out of money, and somehow I feel like I just got conned out of $1,000 throwing that party for her husband, and that wasn't even worth it. It would be one thing if she appreciated it, but she doesn't. Sean's like,
So Jen sees Lisa and Angie talking, and she's getting so pissed. And she's like, I feel like Angie K should come and talk to me. But instead, Lisa and her over there chit-chatting. I invited the wrong Angie.
Why should she come talk to you? You're the one who poured champagne on her head. And then,
and also, like, isn't Angie, the other Angie, the one whose husband made up a fake account to come after you online? Like, is that already forgiven because you hate Jen so much because you poured something on her head? What?
Yes, it is already. Yes. The answer is yes, yes, and yes. So then Whitney goes, she goes, the tension is real. And she was a big real. She just says, real. Like, if I had a zit on my forehead, it would pop itself. I'm like, oh gosh. I am very concerned about teenage Whitney going to a horror movie. Just like, I've never. Is that a thing that happens? Your zits pop themselves during tense moments?
I don't know, but that's just funny.
If I had a zit on my forehead, it would pop itself.
So then they leave. They all load onto the Sprinter van, the ever popular Sprinter van on this show. And they're like making little jokes, you know, and like Heather's like threatening to get lipstick on Lisa's white pants. And then they're joking about Lisa's spray tan getting all over everything. And then it just gets really quiet and they're all looking around and playing with their hair because they know a fight's about to come. And usually it would be Jen to start it, but everyone's just kind of waiting and Jen doesn't do it. So Whitney's like, obviously, there's a conversation that needs to be had.
Oh, Whitney. God, it just got all over my face.
Sorry, it's okay. I'm stressed.
It's okay. We'll clean that up. Justin knows someone at 405.
Didn't you say it was talking it was 401k?
Oh.
Jen's like, well, people get mad because I speak the truth, and that's an issue. Like, I speak the truth, then everybody's mad. You know what I'm saying? And everyone's quiet because that's such a weird revision to history. And so Angie's like, let's not make anyone uncomfortable anymore. Okay, Jen. Okay. And she's like, are you talking to me? And she goes, yeah, I'm talking to you. She's putting me making people uncomfortable. Maybe you should apologize. Maybe you should apologize then. You should apologize to me.
Yeah. And so then Angie just puts on her sunglasses, which I love that. I love that as like a power move. Like, you're about to get it from a rich lady. Okay. So then she puts on the sunglasses. And by the way, as I'm saying this, I'm realizing that when I said 405, I really should have said 409. 409 is the cleaner, isn't it, Ronnie?
Yeah, 405's a freeway.
It's a freeway. I just did a Whitney to my Whitney impersonation. So then Jen, so Angie puts on the...
Bam! God, your joke so stress tense. Just got all over me.
Joke stress. Ah! So Angie's like, I'm not apologizing. Maybe you should apologize. And she's like, apologize for what? For getting you wet. I'm sorry. I thought you were my friend of 20 years, and that was like a joke. It's not that big of a deal. I did not pour it over the middle of your head so it would go down in your face. I'm so sorry. And she's like, oh, okay. So just to the side so it doesn't count. I'm like, I love that Jen now has like parameters of where you can pour champagne on someone's head. It's only serious
if it drips on your face.
Like, if you intentionally aimed it to the sides, that way it wouldn't really mess up the makeup.
It's the friend of 20 years angle that she threw. And so Angie's like, okay, so the side doesn't count. And Jen goes, well, I'm sorry. I poured it on myself too. Now, this is great because this is the first time we've seen Jen ever backing down, which is weird because she's not screaming and yelling. She's like, but I poured it on myself and I'm sorry. And Angie's like, well, let's do a raise your hand moment. Hold on. I'm going to take off my sunglasses for this. Did anyone here think that was funny? Did anyone here think it's funny? And everyone's like awkward. And she goes, I don't see hands. And then she puts her sunglasses back on.
It's so powerful. Like, just for the sunglasses alone, like, Angie Harrington never did anything like that. She needs to incorporate more sunglass work. So Jen's like, are you serious? Like, I wasn't trying to come after you. I was doing it because everyone was confused about the bedrooms. So you pour a drink on my head? I've been super fucking organized with this and Sharif's party. And I had a plan the whole fucking party. And I paid for the whole party. You did not.
Oh, yeah? What did you pay for? Keep in mind, I am still wearing my sunglasses and in a position of power as a result.
Oh, this is great to see Jen like this, because I feel like with anyone else, she'd be screaming and yelling and having a fit, but she's like actually calm, you know? She's like, oh. And so Angie's like, yeah, what did you pay for? And Heather's like, I came for the walkthrough. She's just telling us, but she's like, I came for the walkthrough when Angie offered her home. And so then we see a clip of Angie saying, you know, I didn't have a housewarming party, so this is going to be the first big party I throw over here. And Heather says, to unload it like this in front of all of us, I mean, that feels like a sucker punch. It feels underhanded and it feels mean.
Heather was just at Beaumont Bakery saying that she feels like the way she talks about Jen, like she always considers Jen, but Jen doesn't consider her, and she's sick of it. She's sick of it. It doesn't feel right. She almost doesn't even want to go on the trip. And now she is sitting, literally going to all lengths to defend Jen over this champagne thing. I do not understand this.
Yes. And so Angie's like, you know, now see, if this was Angie said, I'm going to throw the entire party for Sharif. I know you're going through a rough time. I'm going to just do this for you and then use it against Jen. That would be one thing. But, you know, apparently that's not what it was. So Angie's like, so have you even offered to reimburse me? And Jen's like, yes, yes, I have. And she goes, when? Because it was 3 months ago. So when's the reimbursement? And Jen tells us, I was going to host a party completely somewhere else. I mean, she said she hadn't had a housewarming and wanted to do it. In fact, there was a whole tasting. There was a tasting. And then we see a clip of Angie pretending it's a wedding. Because to her, it's like her debutante ball, you know?
It She's is.
Like, that was the best octopus I've ever tasted. Right, Linus? Right.
And then Jen's like, she's like, also, like, Coach Shaw doesn't even drink, okay? She's a goddamn liar. And Angie goes, I have been a very good friend to you, and today was a tipping point to me, and I'm not just talking about the fact that you literally tipped some champagne onto my head, okay? You dumped a fucking drink on my head in front of my friends, and it was embarrassing to you and humiliating to me. And Jen goes, it wasn't embarrassing. She goes, I am a fucking respected woman. I'm a respected woman. She goes, so am I. She goes, are ya? Are ya? I was like, ooh.
Are ya?
She did a ya. She gave it a ya. Are ya? Are ya? Are ya really?
Are ya? Then how come you can't keep a friendship with anyone? I was supposed to open up my house, not my wallet. You didn't help. You didn't come to clean up. And Jen goes, I gave you a $5,000 necklace. I gave you a $5,000 necklace, and you know it. And she goes, that was yesterday. That was yesterday. And then we see a clip of Jen being like, I got this necklace, but I'm not going to wear it. You can have it.
And she says, you gave me a necklace you were already wearing, okay? Don't deflect. I didn't ask to throw a party in return for a necklace. And then she goes, the last thing I... And then she says, and by the way, this was a great moment because it was a total... I felt in some way it was a reference to Erica Jane. She goes, the last thing I want to do is keep this necklace and be in public and have the Southern District of New York find me and take the necklace off my neck. I'm a respected woman.
And she says, well, how about a thank you for throwing a party? And she goes, thank you. Well, thank you. She goes, I shouldn't have to ask Jen. I cleaned. You didn't help. You didn't even clean.
And so I was on my knees. I was on my knees cleaning my floor. I was on my every single thing. My house was trash. I even called the bluebirds and the little rabbits to come help me. And they said, no, Cinderella, not today. This is all you.
And she goes, I was willing to be sweeping this under the rug. And Dana goes, no more sweeping things under the rug. It's like, oh, here comes Dana.
This is where Dana This is where you... This? Now? This is the moment you've had this entire thing to say, like, see, Jen, you are a bully, but this is what you do?
Yeah. And Angie's like, you could sweep that under the rug like your behavior with Dana the past week. Did anyone see how lovely that party was? I cleaned for 3 days. Okay. You can calm down now, you know. But I love it because she just keeps going. And Jen's like, but I didn't even want to do it at your house. She goes, you did. She goes, oh.
So these are the rules. When you host a party, you bill the other person. And Angie goes, bitch.
Did you say bitch? She goes, yes, you're being a bitch. She goes, you too. So Jen just got owned. I've never seen that on this show. I've seen people stand up to her, but I've never seen her back down like that. I mean, if Jen is backing down in fear, you know you've got a good Real Housewife on your hand.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because Angie came in with like, she was ready to access all the vital information right at that moment. Like, she's like, oh, you're going to push me on this. I'm pulling from this file and this file and this file. She was like a state-of-the-art computer, you know? She's not like, there was no spinny wheel.
Yeah, there was no hesitation. Yeah. So Jen's like, well, I wish I knew those rules years ago because I could have sent a bill to Meredith and her husband for $80,000. No, because that was a different situation. You said, I'm going to do a birthday party for you. That's it. You didn't say, let's just host a party. You said, I'm going to do a party. And then that was your audition for Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'm going to throw the biggest party Housewives have ever seen.
Yeah, and you also turned it into like your party. It was basically a party for you. It was literally everything was about her. So Meredith goes,
nice. The Sha Chalet. Oh, the good old days. It was only 3 years ago, but still, wow.
I know, God. Remember when there were chalets? So Meredith's like, guys, we have to turn the perspective of these Sprinter vans for us, okay? CEO of Fun is saying, meeting adjourned, and everyone who needs to see the HR of Fun, please, please go talk to Whitney. Thank you.
Yeah. So now they're going to the boat, right? They get there, they're going onto the boat, and we get the tense, ha, beat, ha, beat, ha, beat. So Jen, now that she's away from fucking what's her buttons, Angie. Now she's just talking to Heather. So she's really, you know, doing that thing where you didn't have the balls to do it in front of their face. So behind their back, she's like, I'm going to fuck some people up and that's it. I'm going for it. It's like, oh, sorry. Already lost that one. But she's right over there. If you'd like to come for her again, I'd love to see it.
I like to call that the Ben Mandelker move. During the argument, well, I mean, I guess you're right. And then afterwards, like, another thing, I would have said this, I should have said that one. Because I am not a state-of-the-art computer when it comes to arguing. I very much become a Tandy, as in actually a Jessica Tandy using a Tandy computer. So I'm like, how do I do this again? From all my responses.
So Heather's like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to go on a boat with these women. Traditionally or historically, we do not do well in confined spaces. And in my opinion, a yacht is a Sprinter van on open water.
I sort of like, maybe the yachts on here in San Diego. I feel like this episode also gave us an answer as to why there's no Below Deck San Diego, because the yacht that they wind up getting onto is definitely a far cry from literally every other yacht we've seen on Bravo. So, right. Jen's crying, by the way. So now she's like, and Angie's like, it probably wasn't the right time, but when is the right time? Am I right? And Meredith's like, well, Jen, the reality is you want to have a fun time, right? So let's not incite the situation any further. Sort of like when Brooksy tries to put a circle peg into a square slot. At some point, you're just saying, you did, even though he didn't do it. Okay, so let's try to make it fun, and we'll deal with it afterwards.
So we get onto the boat, and it's called the Champagne, which is really funny. You know, I'd love to see Jen just try and like pick up the boat and drop it on Angie's head.
Well, I'm a respected woman.
I'm a respected woman. So they get on the boat and DJ Kimmy's there. And you know it's DJ Kimmy because she's gone to the FedEx Kinko's, which we talked about earlier, and printed out a little sign that says DJ Kimmy on like office paper.
This yacht is the answer to the question of whatever happened to the OC Angels, this yacht. The captain, the everyone working on it, the whole thing.
And the lady, yeah, of course, Heather's like, oh, captain, oh, my captain, yeah. And the girl serving drinks is like, hi, hi. She's doing that hair scrunch thing. She's just like the Kim Zolciak where she can't stop scrunching her hair. She's like, hi, you guys want some champagne or something? You guys want some drinks? And Heather goes, I would like whatever I can have to make my boobs look as good as yours. And she's like, okay.
Hey, so put in your orders quickly. We only have 1 hour on this thing because we all have to do a night shift at Cabo Wabo. Okay, guys.
So then Jen is on the side of the boat now talking to Meredith, just going off. She's like, I mean, I'm not sure of her ankle. I mean, oh my God, like, would I ever ask for someone to host a party at their house? I mean, she said she's done so much for me. She's so fake. I mean, jump out of the boat and swim to shore, bitch. You know how many connections we have? We could have hosted that party at, like, the Eccles Stadium. Aaron Eccles Stadium, sure. The actor.
Which is why you hosted Sharif's other party at Topgolf, sure. So Meredith is like...
Yeah, but you could host it there, but you'd still have to pay for caterers. That's the point. You did get the venue for free. You just have to, like, pay for stuff, Jen.
Yeah. So Meredith goes, I know she is not... Jen's not in great mental state and having be exacerbated by friends who are not very supportive. And she's trying to numb herself. And I feel like she's hitting a breaking point. It's really unsettling. It's, quite frankly, it's scarier than getting your toenail stuck in Seth's taint. It's very frightening.
God, Jen's like, you're coming at me in my most vulnerable time. You know this. You know what? Fuck you. Like, she's going off. Of course, again, Angie's out of earshot while Jen's being a big badass. Sorry you're going through a vulnerable time, but you started it.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
Fun to watch, though.
What, oh my God. It was like, on the one hand, you could see the gears grinding into motion. You could see Jen saying, like, this will be funny for the show. And you can see it, and you're like, oh gosh. But then at the same time, it was great. It was so fun.
Yeah, it really was. And you can also see the other side of the argument. Like, here comes Big Mouth Angie trying to control everything. It's, like, supposed to be Jen's trip. And Angie's like, no, my friend has a house. We can do it in my house. And then we'll do this for the things. And then I'll give everyone a tour. Like, she is overbearing and, like, taking over the trip. Like, I could see why someone would be annoyed, but... Jen, you just handed her a storyline, you idiot.
Yeah, just gave it right to her, nearly handed her a snowflake in the process, but
yeah.
Anyway, well, that sure was fun, wasn't it?
Sure was. Always some good times with this show. Well, everybody, thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you for being with us on demand too. Hi. Our other on demand video this week was Potomac, so go check that out. That's always fun. Go get your Healing Journey or Be Real t-shirts over at crappinsmerch.com. And we'll be back later. Well, we'll be back tomorrow with some winter house, Winterhausen. Okay. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna. Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby. It's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.